Welcome to In the Middle. I'm Joey Block. Well, the legal troubles for former President Trump just keep mounting. Even though we're in the dog days of summer here, we're about approaching them. We're not quite there yet. We're on the verge of them. We're in August, where, you know, usually the news cycle's pretty slow, but the legal troubles for former President Trump just keep piling up. Prosecutors across the country keep wanting to turn up the heat on the former president, and this week is no exception to that at all, because we have potential charges coming down from Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Georgia, regarding a conspiracy to what is expected to be alleged as overturning election results in the state of Georgia for the 2020 election. That's expected to come out next week. There's some potential charges being afloat around for that one. But then also, we have updates regarding two other cases that former President Trump has already been indicted in. So a lot to file here. If you're just coming back from vacation, you're about to go on one, you're like, what in God's name is going on here? Well, we'll try and fill you in. We'll give you the 411 as best as we can here as we go into those dog days of summer. A lot to watch out for as we get into this. Obviously, you got the Republican presidential debates coming up too on the political side of all this. Right now, former President Trump is not committing to coming. He has not, well, it seems like he's leaned like he's not going to go. He hasn't really committed either way. But, you know, everyone keeps saying he's probably not going to show up. Reality is he hasn't said officially either way. But he has bailed out on debates before in the past, including the last time he had a run at a big primary like this. Back in 2016, he didn't show up to a debate. So it wouldn't be completely unusual for him. But let's get into the legal stuff here. Special counsel Jack Smith has proposed a January 2nd start date for the trial regarding the 2020 election and the attack on the Capitol. Here's what's going on for this one. In a motion, he said, the quote, trial date represents an appropriately speedy trial in the public interest and in the interests of justice, while affording the defendant time to prepare his defense and raise pretrial issues within the court, close quote. Smith estimates the trial itself would take 4 to 6 weeks before going to a jury. Under the proposed schedule, jury selection would begin on December 11th. So right around the holidays there, when, you know, you're doing your holiday shopping, that's when we could start to see this heat up here. Now, of course, the Trump side, not too thrilled about this. The Trump campaign denounced the proposal, saying that prosecutors, quote, are blatantly playing political games, proving even further that they are overtly committing election interference because they know that President Trump is the leading candidate in the race to win the White House, close quote. This comes as the Iowa caucuses are set to take place less than 2 weeks after the proposed start date for the trial, marking the beginning of the Republican presidential primary season. Because, as you know, New Hampshire, not far behind that. Then you got South Carolina. Then you got the Nevada caucus, followed by Super Tuesday. A lot of big races here, and a lot of people on the political side of this expect this to all be wrapped up by March. So if the former president is struck in a courtroom, yeah, that might inhibit his ability to go out and talk to the supporters. But again, it is interesting to note the political reality that the Trump campaign is trying to ensue here, because as we've noticed from a trail of polling, that Trump has tended to expand his lead every time one of these indictments has come out, as well as his fundraising. He seems to have a good hold there when it comes to the electorate in the Republican Party. But then you got the general election. You got to ask yourself, well, you know, is this really going to appeal to general election voters? Well, then you got to look at the New York Times Siena poll that came out last week, where it had him and the current president, Joe Biden, neck and neck. Each had 43%. And then you had that margin of error in there, too. But the point is, super, super tight race. Obviously, the national polls, you can't go solely on that. You got to look at the swing states, but it looks like it's tightening up there too. Now, you could argue that there's also the stuff going on with Biden. That could also be playing into this because, as you know, with Biden right now, you got the economy, the gas prices are going up. Then you also have the fact that Hunter Biden had that whole plea deal fiasco thing. That was all over TV and the internet and basically any medium that provides news. And then also you got this testimony that the House Oversight Committee has been pushing with Devin Archer, a former Hunter Biden business associate. He's been talking, and basically they've been trying to connect the dots there, accusing the president of being involved in Hunter Biden's business dealings while he was serving as a vice president. So that's been in the news a little bit. So, you know, it could be a wing and wang here where you could have Biden's issues bringing him down and maybe Trump's issues are in fact helping him. That's, we'll have to see how the polling holds on that one. But again, this isn't the only legal issue that former President Trump is dealing with. He, along with his aide Walt Nauta, have pleaded not guilty to the latest allegations in the classified documents case. The first batch of charges accused both men, along with another aide, Carlos de Oliveira, of conspiring to conceal surveillance footage at Mar-a-Lago from the FBI. Now, Oliveira didn't enter a plea due to the fact that he has yet to get a local attorney to represent him. The former president, he didn't even show up at the court hearing, instead opting to have his attorney, Todd Blanchet, enter the plea on his behalf. This is on top of the previous charges levied by special counsel Jack Smith against Trump and Nauta in this case. So, obviously, more developments moving on that front. Now, you have Smith, basically, he has that date firmed down. That's going to be in May. Then you have the New York Stormy Daniels trial. That's in March. Then you also have the E. Jean Carroll trial. That's a civil suit, so not indictment there. That's a defamation thing, as she now sued him for defamation. After, literally days after the trial wrapped up for that one, Trump called her a kook and all that type of stuff at a CNN town hall, and that started that one. So he's got a lot on his plate here. And that's really what we're going to have to watch and see what works and what doesn't work and which of these actually go to trial before the election, which one actually doesn't. Do these get dismissed? Does he get convicted? There are a lot of interesting plot points here that we may have to test. And remember, legally, the former president can run and win the presidency while behind bars, if that's what it comes down to. So we have to remember that, too, that his supporters could still prop him up even if he is a quote-unquote convicted felon. He could still go out there. Whether you think he's guilty or whether you not think he's guilty, the man can still run for president. And that could be a whole new world that we have never seen in the political light. And again, that would potentially prevent him from getting out there and speaking directly to his supporters. So we'd have to see how the former president would deal with that. And how would that shape the campaign? How would that affect the general election debates? There's a lot of questions going into this, as we can see from a political standpoint and where the polling is going to go. But as you see here, the special counsel Jack Smith is looking to move fast on both these, and he wants them all done, wrapped up before the election. While it looks like the Trump team, they're trying to make this happen after the election. And we'll have to see where the timeline moves here for sure. But here's what we're getting in the middle of this week. Well, the presidential race isn't the only election on the ballot next year here in New Jersey. Voters will go to the polls to determine which party will hold one of the state's Senate seats. Senator Bob Menendez is up for re-election next year, but he hasn't officially declared, though he is largely expected to vie for another term. And you may recall here that Republicans have not won a Senate seat in New Jersey since 1972. That was when Richard Nixon was elected president. So Republican president getting elected along with a Republican senator in the state of New Jersey. So it's been a long time. So essentially, this is the Democratic race to lose here. And with that in mind, there's a big focus on this Democratic primary. And we had some of the candidates on, and there's been a lot of development since we last spoke about this. So let's go through it here to make sure we're all on the same page. All right, you ready? Here's the first one. Christina Khalil, you may remember her. We had her on the show. She was challenging Menendez in the Democratic primary. Well, she's jumping ship here. She's switching over from the Democratic primary to running for the Green Party nomination. So she's trying to go mano a mano in the general election against Menendez and whoever the Republican nominee ultimately is. And then assuming Menendez gets into this race and wins the nomination. Then you have Roselle Park Mayor Joe Signorello dropping out and deciding instead to pursue a challenge against Congressman Tom Kaine in the 7th District. Now, as you may know, the 7th Congressional District in New Jersey is the ultimate swing district. It's really the only one that's competitive, though Republicans have gained some ground in recent years there, largely because of a redistricting effort there by the state legislature and the redistricting commission and all that. So in that case, there is an appetite by Democrats to try and get this back, because basically the map is set up here is that all the Democratic incumbents, they're pretty much good to go. And the two other Republican incumbents also have some pretty safe districts to run in. That's the way the map was constructed by the redistricting commission, and that was ultimately ruled on. And so with that in mind, this is the race that everyone's going to be watching next year on the congressional level. And Roselle Park Mayor Joe Signorello is jumping into that race against Sue Altman. And there's also another guy who just got in too. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come, but it's a race to watch there. So moving back to this one, we have, again, one more update regarding this Senate race. Real estate lender Kyle Jacy has officially launched his campaign. Now, why is Jacy? For those of you who are in North Jersey, the name Jacy may sound a little familiar. Why is that? Well, Jacy is the son of a North Jersey assemblywoman. Who's that? That one and his mother, that assemblywoman, goes by the name of Myla Jacy, who is retiring at the end of this term, at the end of this year. And she's been there for over a decade now, but she decided it's time to quit. But now she's moving towards the future. She says she's fully behind her son's campaign, but it's unclear at this point who else will be getting behind this campaign, because in fact is Menendez is a titan in New Jersey politics here. He has won just about every race that he has ever gotten into, whether it's for Congress, whether it is for Senate. You know the deal. Any political office he's pursued on record, he has done well in. And despite coming from a politically active family, because Jacy has his mother, obviously, his dad also is politically active as well. So he's someone who grew up in this environment. Jacy says it's time to make a change here and to stop doing business as usual in D.C. Well, joining me now to talk about this campaign and to make his case is New Jersey Democratic Senate candidate Kyle Jacy. Kyle, thanks for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. This is really great.
You're currently running for Senate here in New Jersey. What made you decide to run?
I decided a number of years ago, I think it was around 5 years ago. And at the time, I was kind of following some of the stuff that was going on with Menendez and the trial. And I remember just watching it and thinking that it was a shame that, you know, nobody had stepped up to really run against this guy. And that this was the representation of our state. You know, I'm from New Jersey. I've lived here pretty much my whole life. I'm raising my kids here. And, you know, I just thought it was a bit of an embarrassment. And so I told myself at the time, I didn't think there was enough time to jump in and really make anything happen. But I told myself at the time that I was gonna track it and see what happened. If nobody major got in, you know, if nobody with the big name got in, then, you know, better me than nobody.
You're most likely going up against Senator Menendez. That's basically the expectation. He's going to be the guy going up in the Democratic primary. He hasn't made an official announcement yet, but a lot of people expect he's going to get in. He's been in office since 2006. Why is it time for a change now?
I think that his multiple scandals have just kind of proven him to be unfit for the office. And I think if you ask most New Jersey voters, they feel the same way. And so I think it's just time for a fresh start. And the fact that he's in trouble again is just, I mean, when I was thinking about doing this 5 years ago, it never occurred to me he'd get in trouble again. So, you know, here we are.
You mentioned all of that, but the fact is he still is a titan in New Jersey politics. A lot of people know who he is. He's been around for a long time. And he's won just about every race he's ever run for political office, whether it's Congress or Senate, etc., and many of them by wide margins. How do you plan to beat him?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's definitely got a strong track record for winning elections. He's got a mountain of money behind him. I think that I'll go into this. I think the will of the people's there. If you look at the numbers from the last Democratic primary, when he was on trial, he ended up losing almost 40% of the vote. And I got to imagine he had probably a similar amount of cash back then. So I think the will is certainly there. And so my focus is, it's on Senator Menendez, but it's also not, because I think most people have kind of made up their mind about how they feel about him. So it's really just going to be kind of getting my message out there and showing people that, you know, I'm a good alternative and that they can actually have a real choice in this election.
How do you plan on getting your message out there? Is it going to be mainly door knocking? Is it going to be ad buys on TV? What's the game plan?
I mean, honestly, I think it's going to be a bit of everything. I don't foresee a situation where I'm skipping any of that stuff. So I think it'll be a bit of both, you know, but you have to be realistic too. It's like, I'm just one person. I can only hit but so many doors. And so I'm going to have to think about how my time is best spent. We also plan to recruit a lot of volunteers, which we've already started doing. Again, I think we're going to be, our strength in this is that there are a lot of people who feel the way that I do. And they're already reaching out, even though we're kind of just getting started, and donating and wanting to give their time. So I think that there's going to be a lot of potential support out there and people that are helping to get the word out. So it'll be a bit of both, you know, definitely media buys and also definitely, you know, phone calls, phone banking, door knocking, that sort of thing.
Now, Roselle Park Mayor Joe Signorello recently switched over to running for Congress after previously being in this Senate race. When asked about your candidacy and your opponent Christina Khalil's odds on this show a couple weeks ago, he said, quote, "There's no chance in hell," close quote, "you can beat Menendez." How do you respond to that?
I heard him say that. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how to respond to that. Obviously, I don't agree. You know, I don't know him, never met him, you know, so he obviously looked at the situation and he didn't think it was a good opportunity for him anymore. And he decided to go do the other thing. I mean, honestly, frankly, I wish him well. I hope he wins his race. It's better for the Democrats. So good luck to him.
So he's also running against Sue Altman in that race. You think he's the better guy in that one?
To be honest, I have no idea. I don't know. I know a little bit about Joe. I barely know anything about Sue, just that she's running. You know, running for office kind of for the first time here. I mean, I was a district leader in South Orange, so, but other than that, you know, this is my first race and I have a lot of respect for people who choose to put themselves out there. So, you know, I hope they both have good campaigns and may the best person win.
You mentioned the fact that this is your first campaign. You've never held public office before. What experience would you bring to the table if you got elected to the Senate?
Well, so one of the good things is that I have actually worked on campaigns. So I worked on the Corzine campaign. So I have some experience. And, you know, as you might know, my mom's a politician. And so I've at least kind of gotten that vantage point, being the son of a politician, being kind of around it. But also, you know, I mean, I'm a business person, so I definitely see things through that lens. And so in terms of the kind of perspective that I could bring to it, you know, I've spent the last 10 years working in New Jersey real estate, on the real estate financing side. So, you know, that's part of what I would bring to it.
Now, going back to Menendez, you're perceived that since he would be the front runner going into this thing, he's butted heads with members of your party from time to time, including former President Barack Obama, most famously when he opposed the Iran nuclear deal. As you mentioned, your mom is a politician. She's someone who knows her way around Trenton. She was there for a number of years. She's getting ready to retire from the state assembly. Did anyone from the Democratic establishment tell you to get in this race?
No. No one has told me to get in or to get out yet. This is something that my wife and I talked about for a long time, and it was something that we knew we were willing to do if the situation was right, you know. And so again, you know, we were waiting to see what was going to happen, how this would play out, you know, if someone came forward and challenged him and, you know, had a big war chest of money and a big name, then it probably wouldn't have made sense, you know, and that would have been fine. Because a big part of this is just thinking that, you know, we need somebody else. And if there's nobody else running, then we'll do it. But no, in terms of anybody approaching me asking me to do it, no, I would probably say, I think more people think that this is, or at least I thought going in that more people would think that this was a crazy idea than a great idea. So I've been pleasantly surprised so far, but definitely nobody encouraged me to do this. Except for my wife. My wife, she has really encouraged it. And so if this goes well, she deserves all the credit.
We'll make a note of that. If this goes well, we're gonna congratulate Mrs. Jacy first. That will be.
If it doesn't go well, it's my fault. But if it does go well,
we're gonna make note of that. I think we'll have to keep track of that and sort of see how well the primary goes in a few months from now. But in regards to gaining support, obviously that's a big thing that you want to do. And as I mentioned, former President Obama was not a big fan of Bob Menendez a lot of the time when he was in the Senate. Are you seeking that guy's endorsement?
I mean, at this point, we're not really seeking any endorsements, to be honest with you. I guess we'll see, you know, where the road goes on that. But, you know, he's the sitting incumbent in the senatorial seat. You know, I expect him to get most of the endorsements, you know, because it's, you know, I don't expect people that don't know me, especially right now, this early into it, to take a bet on, you know, someone who's coming from the outside. But, you know, 6 months from now, we got about 10 months. It's almost exactly 10 months from today that the election will be. And so between now and then, I guess we'll see where things go. But I would say getting endorsements, getting the line, it's not a big part of my plan, you know, at least right now. Now, if I think that becomes something that might be possible, then, you know, we probably shift focus and try to make that happen. But that's not, you know, the way that I foresee winning this thing.
So you don't plan on competing for any of the county organizational lines in the state?
So I'm definitely going to reach out to everybody and, you know, run kind of a conventional campaign in that respect. But if I don't get the endorsements, you know, that's not going to alter my plans here. You know, so I will try my best with that, but I do expect, at least for right now, that people are going to stick with Menendez. But, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and June also, you know, and he's under active investigation. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that as well.
If you don't end up winning this primary, will you support the Democratic nominee for Senate, no matter who it is?
Yeah, I mean, against the Republican, yeah, definitely.
I want to switch and talk about the Democratic Party more broadly. There are three declared candidates for the Democratic presidential primary nomination contest right now. There's President Biden, author Marianne Williamson, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Ideologically, who would you say you identify the most with?
It's a good question. I mean, at this point, I'm still supporting the president. You know, I think he's done some good things in a tough spot. You know, I was a big supporter of Obama, and, you know, Biden came in, he got the job done against Trump. But, you know, I'm sympathetic. I can see why some of the things that Marianne Williamson and Robert Kennedy are saying are attractive to people. I don't think they should be silenced. I think everyone should take a good look at the candidates. I haven't made up my mind, to be honest with you, and there's still a little bit of time. I'll support whoever it ends up being, but I can also understand, you know, why people have kind of heated emotions about this sort of thing. But, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting points that are being made on all sides.
The DNC says there's going to be no debates between these candidates. Do you think that's a mistake? Should the three candidates be on the debate stage together arguing their policy proposals?
The debate thing doesn't bother me that much, just because there's never been debates, as far as I can remember, at least, you know, in recent history, when there's an incumbent, right? And so if that were a break with policy, then I would say that's a mistake. But I mean, the policy has always been, at least, you know, in recent history, that the party backs the sitting president, and there are no debates or anything like that. Because, you know, there's always been people that ran against the sitting president. So that actually doesn't bother me so much.
Now, it's important to note here that the current president isn't very popular right now, including right here in New Jersey, where his approval rating sits in the mid-40s. If the president offered to campaign for you, because he has campaigned even in blue areas, we saw that last year when he went to go campaign for New York Governor Kathy Hochul, if he offered to campaign for you in a general election, would you welcome him to do so?
In a general election, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, basically he's running for the presidency. He's won his primary. I've won my primary. Then, yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, I would campaign with whoever wins the primary for president. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's still the same team, you know?
Now, I want to switch gears and talk more policy. The president has been pushing what many in his administration are calling Bidenomics. He's saying the economy is in great shape, citing low unemployment, easing inflation, and the policies being implemented by his administration. Is Bidenomics working, in your view?
I think it's a tough thing to answer. I mean, you know, generally, do I think things are getting back on track? Yes, I do, right? But I can also see the frustration where there's a lot of industries that still haven't gotten over COVID, and you have, you know, all this inflation, and some people are saying it's actually greedflation. It's just companies being opportunistic and gouging, you know, their customers. And so, I mean, you know, the industry that I'm in, you know, real estate investor financing, and we took an enormous hit industry-wide, especially in, you know, the New Jersey, New York area. And so I've seen a lot of people, you know, hurting and trying to save their businesses and save their jobs. And, you know, this is one of the first times I've talked to friends of mine that have been worried about losing their jobs, people that had what they thought were relatively stable jobs. So I think we are ultimately headed in the right direction. But I can also see the frustration that a lot of people have. I mean, you know, if I could give advice to Joe Biden, you know, I don't, not that he would ask for it, I don't think, but if he did ask me, I would say, I think people, especially, you know, in hard times, they need to hear more from their leaders. And I'd like to just see him out there more. You know, I think that would, inspire a lot more faith in people that things are on the right track. And, you know, get out there and talk about what they're doing, things they've done, and what's working.
You brought up the fact that you're in the real estate business and that your line of work took a big hit during COVID. Right now, mortgage rates are at 7.38%. How do you feel about the real estate market right now?
I think it's going to be a longer recovery. It's going to take a longer time for things to get back to normal than most of us want to hear. I think the rates are going to be where they are for a bit. And I don't know that this is the perfect tool to curb inflation, but I don't know what else they could really do. So it's unfortunate, but I'm not sure what else would be a good solution. So I think real estate's going to take a while to bounce back.
Do you see the mortgage rates getting higher or are things getting worse before they get better?
I mean, honestly, your guess is probably as good as mine. It sounds like, you know, they're going to maybe get a little bit higher or hold steady for a while. So my guess is, you know, maybe they'll get a little bit higher and then eventually start to come down. I don't think they're going to come down much for the foreseeable future. I think it's going to be a while.
Let's talk about taxes. There's been a push by many politicians in New Jersey to reinstate the state and local tax deduction, which is currently capped at $10,000 for property tax owners. If elected, would you work towards reinstating SALT?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, this affects the number of people in my family. You know, so I'm sure I'll be hearing about this every Sunday. So yeah, I'll be all over it.
Now, there's been some who have said that running on SALT is almost like a non-issue because of the fact that the way the law was written that greatly reduced this tax deduction is that there was a sunset around 2025 and you're running in 2024. And if you won and got sworn into the Senate, you wouldn't be starting on this till January of 2025. Is it really something the Democratic Party or really politicians in New Jersey should be talking about at this point?
I mean, I think people should talk about it because, you know, it seems like it was purely punitive for people in our region. And that in and of itself is, you know, kind of egregious. But I think people should also be honest about it. I don't remember. I know it sunsets in 2025. I don't know exactly when. And so, you know, if I were to get in January and it's sunsetting in February, then realistically, you know, yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. If this is something that's going to be going away. But, you know, I'd have to take a closer look at when exactly it sunsets and what kind of impact that would have. So I think it still makes a lot of sense to look at it and kind of figure out, you know, what the impact would be and if it would make sense. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that it's expiring, you know, I could see a situation where that's not the most beneficial place to put the effort.
Finally, I want to talk about gas prices. They are on the rise once again. The average price of gas in New Jersey per gallon this week has been around $3.70. It's been a little higher, a little lower, depending on what day you go to the gas pump. And that's nearly 20 cents per gallon higher than it was a month ago. It was around $3.50, $3.51. How do we go about bringing these prices down so that people can fill their car up without having to pick between the gas bill and the grocery bill?
I agree. Gas prices are rough these days. I think short term, it's, you know, do whatever we can to safely encourage, you know, more oil production, you know. Long term, you know, it's alternative fuel types. You know, it's green technology and that sort of thing. So I think everything that can be done to bring down the price of gas, because it's such an immediate thing that hits the everyday worker and person. So I think we should be doing everything we can, obviously, with the environment in mind and, you know, not killing all the caribou to do so. But I think we should do what we can to lower the price, but then also keep working towards, you know, more green technology.
You say we need to increase oil production as well as expand green technology. There's been a lot of talk about America energy independence and how we need to go back to that because a lot of what is happening right now in the oil market is being affected by other countries in the Middle East, such as Saudi Arabia. Do you think we need to start drilling more oil here in the United States as opposed to relying on other countries to import oil into our country?
I mean, from my understanding of it, we're pretty much almost there, you know, with especially with what's been going on in recent years. So I think oil independence is a great thing. And I think just from, you know, what I've heard, it sounds like we're pretty close to there. So, yeah, I do think that that's a worthwhile thing to strive for. And I think that seems to be pretty much where we're getting to.
Well, we'll have to see where that goes, as well as your campaign. New Jersey Democratic Senate candidate Kyle Jacy, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. This was great, Joey.
Well, that about wraps things up for me this week. Thanks so much for joining me, as always. To stay in touch with what's going on, all you have to do is follow me on social media, which you can do on Twitter at @block_Joey. Again, my last name is spelled BLOCH_Joey. You can also check me out on Instagram at joey.block.39. Again, that is at joey.block.39. Now, in case you just found this for the first time, you're like, oh my God, I love the show. It's so great, but where do I find it? Well, here's what you got to do. You got to go to that browser of yours, whether it's Safari, whether it's Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, whatever you prefer. You got to go and type in foxsportsradionewjersey.com/podcast. Again, that is foxsportsradionewjersey.com/podcast. You put that in and you go, you'll be at the podcast page where all the Fox Sports New Jersey podcasts are. You're going to scroll down until you find In the Middle with Joey Block. You're going to click on that and all the episodes will be there. The newest one will be at the top. And the older ones will be at the bottom. We typically put out new episodes every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. So be sure to tune in for that one. Well, thank you very much for joining me. It has been a pleasure. We'll be back in next week with more In the Middle right here on Fox Sports New Jersey.